broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This is the broadcast for June 17th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked about T-Mobile and Sprint, kind of melted down a bit and had trouble, but they got it fixed. They complain it was a, or they say it was a configuration issue. Ben Carson, quote, Trump will get there. On players kneeling during the national anthem, protests. But he says that, you know what, the protesters need to make clear what they're actually protesting. Rush Limbaugh speaking out and saying, look, it ain't about the flag. When was the last time you thought about the flag and then thought, man, Black Lives Matter? See, the two aren't related at all. What's going on? Be clear. Carson says the nation simply is not systemically racist. I've seen systemic racism growing up, Ben Carson says. I mean, we're so much better than that now. Yeah, of course, we're always going to have people that are racist, but as a whole, we're not a racist nation. Amen to that. We've come a long way. We need to work towards a whole lot more. Mind-blowing makeover. The Supreme Court redefines, quote, sex. Court creates deceptive legislation, ladies and gentlemen, that creates new privileges. So really, they made law from the bench. Shame, 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 shame. In a 6-3 decision, Neil Gorsuch sold us down the river. The Supreme Court's, quote, surprising 6-3 decision in favor of gay and transgender rights really had Neil Gorsuch and, John Roberts both joining the liberals backing a 1964, quote, civil rights law. They really made law for the bench, folks. It's an outright shame. Nevertheless, there you have it. You know, they always say elect conservative judges. It'll save your bacon someday. Well, Donald Trump, sadly, is finding out the court's a whole lot more liberal, even with his conservative appointees, than he could have possibly imagined. Maybe he should have put Mike Lee on the bench. Maybe he should have put folks like, Art Moore and Mike Lee on the bench. It might be different, huh? President Trump, quote, my administration is ready to
you
move.
You mean Roy Moore, right?
Or Roy Moore. I'm sorry. Who did I say? Art?
Art Moore.
Roy Moore.
He's a writer.
Art Moore's a writer. Good point, Kurt. Thank you, sir. Yeah, Roy Moore and Mike Lee would be the two that I'd probably put on the bench just personally. All right. President Trump, quote, says my administration is ready to move if the ongoing situation in Seattle warrants the support. Right now, it's out of control there and getting worse by the day. We talked about the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. CHAZ has been renamed to the Capitol Hill Ongoing Protest CHOP. We also talked about corporate America sadly backing Black Lives Matter to the $1.7 billion mark and more. And again, you know, I do believe Black Lives Matter, but do Black Lives Matter more than any other lives? Do other lives matter more than Black lives? No, and the truth is that all lives matter. And then they say I'm a racist for saying that. You just can't win with these people. But Antifa's out of control, and they're pillaging and plundering and raping and rioting, and they're backed by the corporate world. What a strange scenario. Then they tell you that I'm anti-government. Imagine that kind of psychosis, huh? I stand for the proper rule of constitutional government, and that's the recap of hour one. Hour two, we talked about the fact that Starbucks literally sending Black Lives Matter shirts to their employees after they claimed they wouldn't be allowed to wear such paraphernalia. If convicted, believe it or not, the Chauvin cop, you know, that knelt on the neck and killed, what's his name? Yeah, what's that guy's name? George? All right, anyway, I guess he's going to get his pension anyway. CNN says he could get $1.5 million over 30 years, so there you have that. More cities and states could ban no-knock warrants. Are you for them? Well, I am Rand Paul style, but, you know, we can't go all the way. Rand Paul announces justice for Breonna Taylor Act. Barring, quote, no-knock warrants for the most part. Great legislation, by the way. Handshakes and hugs may be gone for good, says Anthony Fauci via the New York Times. He's called for the end of handshakes. Whacked out doctor. Because really, the question becomes, has the coronavirus stolen your hugs? Hugs show how powerful human touch truly is. Not only do we miss hugs, ladies and gentlemen, science shows we need them. Physical affection reduces stress by calming our sympathetic nervous system. Yeah, when we're stressed out, bad hormones go into our body and cause a lot of trouble. We can change that, folks, but Fauci giving all the wrong advice. Lady Antebellum changes band name, apologizes for causing pain about slavery. The real Lady A had a problem with it at first. But then I guess they worked it all out and everybody's happy, they say. So that's good news. My problem is running from the Lady Antebellum name. They should double down, explain that it has nothing to do with slavery, that it has to do with the lives that the old Southerners lived. We all agree slavery was evil and wrong and needed to be stopped, okay? No one's defending slavery. However, that doesn't mean that every other aspect of their culture is evil and wrong and should be jettisoned and under the revisionist history, cancel culture knife, should it? Thomas Jefferson sadly goes down in latest quote. They call it a statue removal. They say it happened in Portland, Oregon. I say the latest criminal act. Thomas Jefferson. So they first attacked the, quote, antebellum South. They attacked the, quote, leaders of the southern side of the war. Right? Now they're attacking the founding fathers. Pretty soon it'll be all Christians, you and I included. Pray it doesn't happen, but predict if we continue on the same road we're on now, it will happen, folks. And it'll be a sad day, but you know what? Who's been standing up for our history? Seems like even the big corporate world backing the revisionist history, the cancel culture. The cancel culture. I reject that. I don't believe in the cancel culture. Okay? I want history as it really is. And the bad parts of history, I don't want to remember it happily. Slavery, the way we treated the Indians, the way we treated the Mormons or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Horrible. Okay? But let's have it in our minds and teach how horrible it was in an effort never to repeat it. But why cancel it out? Why just wipe it from history? Is that going to help us in the long run? Or is the stark reminder a better view? Hey, you know what? These were horrible blights on our history. Never to repeat it again. Hopefully we've learned our lessons from them. See, I'd rather remember history that way. That's just me. All right, the White House, quote, Kurt, when you defund the police, you, listen, destabilize urban communities. So the White House says, hey, when you defund the cops, you destabilize urban communities. Kurt, you want to respond?
I think you destabilize every community, but
amen.
You know, I'd like to see the talk about restoring the sheriffs, the constitutional sheriffs to the land and that kind of thing.
Couldn't agree more. And I think the White House would agree with you, Kurt. I just think they're kind of highlighting that it's going to destabilize urban communities the most. And I think there's truth to the point, but I agree with you. Hey, it destabilizes everybody, everywhere. All okay, what we need is to return to the duly elected county sheriff, and we need to be the law and order sheriff, the law and order president, the law and order society is what we ought to be. Anyway, good for the White House for highlighting, in my opinion, a fundamental truth. All right, believe it or not, now Donald Trump speaking out boldly, nobly, independently against the latest Supreme Court decision redefining sex. Kurt, I guess they call this the HHS under Trump now determines sex as male or female and overturns the Obama definition of one's, quote, internal sex or sense of gender sex decisions. They're returning to the original definition, Kurt, the way we've known it for literally decades and centuries and stuff like that. And as far as I understand, it's a promise made by the candidate and a promise kept by the president. And then I basically tweeted that out and said, God bless the president, Kurt. And so anyway, the HHS under the Trump administration now jettisoning the redefined definition Barack Obama had, saying that gender is just kind of an internal thing and decide what you want. And he, meaning Donald Trump and the administration, overturned that and said, no, Male is male and female is female, people. That's how it is. So now you got the executive branch and the courts kind of at odds here, Kurt. The bench making legislation, in my opinion, criminal activity from the bench. These justices who voted for it, six of them, should be impeached. Nevertheless, the administration getting it right, what will the legislative body do? Will they cower and do nothing and leave the two at odds? Or will they stand up and redefine reality? Or what will they do, Kurt? And how do you think this showdown is going to affect the elections? Any idea? It's a big showdown, though, and I commend President Trump for being on the right side of the issue, sir.
Well, it's an interesting time, and as the old Chinese saying goes, may you live in interesting times. I guess we get that blessing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that doesn't tell me at all what you think is going to happen, though, Kurt. I understand we have blessings.
Well, I think Chinese that, you know, the, and all that. At least if you're asking me if I think the House is going to, if the House is going to start a bill that says what we're going to restore male to female thing like the president did, I don't think the House will do that. The Senate might do it. If it doesn't have to do with money, at least maybe constitutionally they can do it. You know, who knows what
anyway,
else.
The battle's on.
People are ticked off.
And I think we just clearly stand with the science, though, here, folks. And I don't know how to remedy this when we're at odds in the House and the Senate might do nothing. The president's on one side of the issue, directing the department, HHS, and others. Male is male, female is female. The court sees it different, folks. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Cops search home. We'll tell you about it.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby will be on your radio. Yeah, the cops are searching a home, Kurt.
Well, it's exactly right, Sam. And Courtney Lancaster got a lesson in government overreach no parent wants to learn. What was going on, ladies and gentlemen? Well, here's the headline from Western Journal. Police take action after school reports BB gun seen in boys' bedroom during virtual class. So they're having one of those Zoom classes, Sam. And this mom says, the article says it's one every American needs to take to heart. That is this lesson of government overreach. Baltimore County, that's one of the main problems, and not out in the country, but at least, you know, maybe a little bit you're more in the county. This woman whose son took part in online classrooms because of the coronavirus school shutdown recently found herself facing a police officer at her door requesting to search her home because her son's BB gun had been spotted in the background during a classroom session. The lesson plan for the day pretty clearly didn't involve the Second Amendment. They say because the weapon apparently alarmed someone badly enough that the viewer took a screenshot of the boy's bedroom during an online class. That's a little invasion of privacy, seems like. The school's principal was notified, WBFF-TV reported, and the school safety officer passed the picture on to police. No mention of, the Ten Commandments, as far as I can tell. Courtney Lancaster, the boy's mother and a Navy veteran, told WBFF she had no idea what a police officer was doing at her home when he showed up. The police officer was very nice. He explained to me that he was coming to address an issue with my son's school, and then explained to me that he was here to search for weapons in my home. And I consented to let him in. And then I unfortunately stood there and watched police officers enter my 11-year-old son's bedroom. The search took only 20 minutes, according to the station, but the effects are still lingering. Since the incident, Lancaster has contacted Baltimore County school officials to try to get some answers about how her son's private belongings, which were now nowhere near school property, had become the business of the school district. She said she was told she was not allowed to see the screenshot. That's an image of her 11-year-old son's bedroom, remember, because it was not part of his student record. It's absolutely scary to think about, she told the station. Who are on these calls? Who do we have viewing your children and subsequently taking these screenshots that can be sent anywhere or used for any purpose? Questioned by WBFF, the school district responded with a statement that was even worse than no comment. I'd read it, but it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. In short, talk to the hand, they say. Bottom line is, Sam, I guess you got to be careful if you got a BB gun in Baltimore, you know?
There you have it. I'm not really sure how to respond to this, Kurt, just because what's
important? It's just lucky he didn't hold his finger and kind of aim at the screen. You know how they do that sometimes.
Yeah. So here's the point, though. What's important, Kurt? We're going to take the time as the cops to go to a house because of a BB gun. We're going to find the BB gun, put the family under undue stress, just crazy town antics. And then we're going to literally let the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter literally take over a 6-block section of a major city and hold it for days, where rapes and pillages and plunder and robbery and murder and go on. And then at the same time, we're going to let statues, public and private property, literally be destroyed and businesses be destroyed all over the country. And the cops are at somebody's house about a BB gun. I mean, how dumb am I? I can't even figure out how that could even make any sense, Kurt.
Of course, good point, Sam.
When you read the Judicial Watch point next article, it kind of highlights how stupid we are, doesn't it, Kurt?
Great point. Yeah, the headline there from WorldNet Daily. WorldNet Daily staff says Judicial Watch to D.C. Mayor, let us paint our slogan on street too. They argue that allowing Black Lives Matter messages makes Roadway a public forum, and I think they're right, Sam. I guess pretty soon you just start writing Liberty Roundtable or Liberty News, Love and Liberty Radio Network on the road, right, Sam? I mean, that's what you do, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be fair.
I don't understand it, man. I just don't understand it, Kurt, in terms of what can we expect, right? I mean, what can we expect to happen? So listen carefully. The cops are searching about a BB gun. Judicial Watch to the D.C. mayor, they're saying, hey, man, let us paint our slogan on the streets, man. Let us do our own graffiti, okay? because they're saying, hey, Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. But, well, it's now become a public forum, Kurt. Is that the way you understand it? Now, I don't think Judicial Watch is exactly serious. I think they're trying to highlight a point here, Kurt.
Well, the thing is the I guess in D.C. they basically let this big old, I mean, you got a massive writing on the street that says Black Lives Matter, you know. And so Judicial Watch is just simply saying, and I think Freedom Watch is also chiming in, but they're just saying, look, you know, if you're saying that the road is a public forum, you know, or anybody can write something on there,
Kurt, let me stop you.
Stuff on there.
It's criminal activity for graffiti, sir.
Good point.
Now, there's a difference between a little bit of chalk on a sidewalk that's easily washed off or whatever else the little kids do, or that people do in the coronavirus now to bring and spread good cheer and stuff like that. You know, in your neighborhood where people put it up for a couple of days to try to spread a message that makes you smile and, you know, to give the children something to do, and then they wash it off and stuff like that. That's completely different than this deal here. Okay, Black Lives Matter messages, if we're just allowing people to create them and then we're not really getting rid of them, we're saying it's kind of a symbol of the ends justifies the means, that Judicial Watch is saying, hey, what would the message be? And what's interesting to me is, so I can't post what I want on Twitter because they'll take me down, but yet you can do whatever you want with the public sidewalks, no problem, no harm, no foul. I think that the Judicial Watch folks are making an incredible point about free speech. Now, I don't believe you can have graffiti. That's where free speech ends. Okay, I don't believe you can pull down statues and destroy property. Okay, that isn't free speech or justifiable at all. But, Kurt, they say happiness is a good thing, and I agree. We got a whole lot on happiness, Kurt.
Well, good point. Yeah, the headline reads from WorldNet Daily, happiness may guard against deadly gut infections. It could give us a new weapon to fight. You know, I guess you could say, remember that old phrase where they say laughter, what is it? Yeah, laughter is the best medicine. I guess this is kind of close to that. You know, so here you're talking about gut health, and one of the kind of related headlines says, smile for your stomach. I mean, I guess Dateline Dallas, they say the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, some researchers down there may have found evidence that serotonin, that's the brain chemical responsible for feelings of happiness and well-being, may be able to stop harmful intestinal pathogens from causing deadly infections. Let's see, does that mean if you smile, you're protected from coronavirus? I mean, essentially the study
happiness. Nothing can protect you from the coronavirus except for the government mandated rush to market without real testing vaccine, sir. Okay? You got that? That's a foregone conclusion. You understand, don't you?
They say essentially the study indicates that happiness can protect against serious gut infections.
Imagine that.
They say serotonin is almost always thought of as a brain chemical, but about 90% of it's actually produced in the gastrointestinal tract. There's also trillions of bacteria living in the stomach as well. And while the vast majority of those bacteria are good and beneficial, some pathogenic bacteria also make their way to the gastrointestinal tract. When this happens, it can lead to serious and sometimes fatal gut infections. So anyway, bottom line is smile and be healthier and happier.
Yeah, Kurt, you want to celebrate all that happiness. And so do I, but not so fast, my friend. I kid you not, the Associated Press is on the beat, buddy. Tomorrow, Lush with the article. A new poll's out. U.S. is the unhappiest it's been in over 50 years, they say. I want to talk about this.
Cheer up, baby.
I think they're absolutely up in the night, whacked out crazy. I'll explain why.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
U.S. Senate Republicans are to introduce a police reform bill today, and South Carolina's Tim Scott, the Senate's only black Republican, is leading the GOP's effort to reform policing following the death of George Floyd while in police custody. Scott says the bill calls for more police training and would reduce funding for departments that don't ban chokeholds. With the federal government now leaving it to states to address the risks from COVID-19, some states are seeing cases surge since reopening their economies. Initially a key player in the federal response to the pandemic, the nation's most well-known infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says he hasn't even been in touch with the White House for a while.
Okay. I spoke with him when we made the presentation to explain to him our vaccine development efforts. So it was 2 weeks ago.
He was speaking on NPR, and this is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules contain 100% fine ripened fruits and vegetables, tested pure with no pesticides, fillers, or additives of any kind, and are the most effective whole food supplements on the market today. Fruits and vegetables are on an average 85% water. Balance of Nature uses cold vacuum technology to remove the water, leaving only the whole food. Our cold vacuum technology maintains 99% of the fresh fruits and vegetables' original nutritional value. Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
We told you at the top of the news that U.S. Senate Republicans are working on a police reform bill. Well, President Trump yesterday signed a new executive order concerning police reform.
I'm signing an executive order encouraging police departments nationwide to adopt the highest professional standards to serve their communities.
The president speaking there during an event in the Rose Garden, Democrats quickly said that his executive order doesn't go far enough. The Trump administration says a former top official has gone too far. The Department of Justice now taking John Bolton to court to try to stop the release of his upcoming book. It's due for release next week. The Trump administration wants a federal judge to halt the publication of the former National Security Advisor's memoir titled The Room Where It Happened, and it wants the destruction of all copies that have already been sent out, claiming there's classified information in it. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, so we're literally celebrating that, you know what, happiness is a wonderful thing. Laughter is one of the best medicines. Happiness may guard against deadly gut infections. Smile, it's good for your stomach, kind of a thing. But now they've got to pull out, quote, the U.S. is the unhappiest it's been in over 50 years, writes Tamara Lush from the Associated Press. Now, here's the details of the story, and I reject their whole complete narrative here, Kurt. And I'm going to explain why in just a second, all right? They say 2020 has been rough on the American psyche. Folks in the U.S. are more unhappy today than have been in nearly 50 years. This poll yet they say a surprising conclusion comes from the, quote, COVID response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago. It finds that just 14% of Americans and adults say they're very happy, Kurt, down from 31%. You want to respond to that first?
Yes, I do. Very good, Sam. You know, I was looking at these reports on this whole happiness thing, and you know, man, I'll tell you what, if you really want to tick off some out of control leftists, just smile at them. I mean, it's really upsetting, and you can see why they'd be mad. You know, and when I occasionally have to deal with this, you know, at the honey table when I'm selling honey, because you got those Make America Great Again hats, and then you got Trump Make America Great Again flags up and stuff like that. And then you got the Bibles and Book of Mormons and Ten Commandments coins handing out. And so some people, it really ticks them off, you know. And so occasionally I have to smile at them and try to be as nice as I can, you know, as I create havoc in the world and America, you know. And that's just kind of how it works, you know. So, you know, this whole happiness thing is pretty tough on some people, you know. That's the way it seems to me anyway. You know, and as we talk about it, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the good, well, the Prince of Peace, the Savior Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer. So as far as I can tell you, you know, that's like pretty much one of the original positive thinking kind of leaders, you know. The Savior Jesus Christ saying, be of good cheer. Good stuff. You know, I guess we go a little deeper into this whole happiness.
Yeah,
thing.
So let me explain this, Kurt, a little bit more, because they say it's down from 31% who said the same in 2018. So first off, the problem that I have with this study, Kurt, is we're going to compare normal times to a quote coronavirus panic situation. Okay. They say that year, meaning 2018, 23% said they often sometimes feel isolated. But, Kurt, just so you know, 50% say that now, Kurt. The survey, they say, conducted in late May, draws on nearly a half a century of research from a general social survey, which has collected data on America's happiness and attitudes and behaviors at least every other year since 1972, Kurt. Now, this is where I want to say shame on them. So you're telling me that you're going to take studies every other year from 1972. You're going to compare us against 2018 when everything was good. The economy was humming. Everything was great, right? And now you're going to say back then only 23% said they felt isolated. Now 50% feel that way. Well, Kurt, the government has forced us all to be isolated. If you ask me if I feel isolated since you forced me to be isolated and I tell you yes, is that a depression statement of unhappiness, or is that a reality fact statement of, by golly, yes, I'm isolated? Okay, the survey conducted in late May, which is collected data on American attitudes, has been going on since 1972 every other year. You're telling me we're going to compare this, quote, coronavirus meltdown, the George Floyd murder, you know, stuff. They say it was taken before that, so it's even worse now, is their point. But you look at that and you go, I don't even know how you can conduct a poll in honesty, Kurt, that's compared to every other year when there hasn't been this mass turmoil scenario, and then run around and say the U.S. has been the most happiest it's been in over 50 years. And you've got this isolated right in the middle of a panic. Everyone's forced to shut their business down, lose their jobs, isolate. Everybody's sick. There's panic everywhere. All of our historical relics are being destroyed. And they're going to literally compare that to this data that they've gathered every other year since 1972 and act like that snapshot is reality. Shame on these dishonest people, Kurt. Now, you could say, well, Sam, we're just checking the pulse. They're unhappy. You're right. But let me explain one of the things that you need to do when you look at data and analytics. And by the way, I know a little bit about analytics. I'm involved in it heavily for my job. I help develop analytics reports and everything else. Okay? And all I'm telling you is one of the things that you don't do is you don't take a snapshot in data. Okay, let's say that I have sales, and sales are up every week since 1970, buddy. 50 years I've had great sales. And then sales dip in a week because nobody can go outside. And then I'm like, wow, sales are down. Sales are down more than in 50 years. Oh, my gosh. What you do is you say, wait a minute. I don't mind this snapshot. I don't mind that it's true. But you got to put it in context, and you got to say, hey, because Americans have been forced inside by their government, because Americans have been isolated, because Americans, what, 40 plus million of them are out of their jobs and don't see a bright future, and because of all this turmoil, yeah, people are a little bit unhappy. They say no less than 29% of Americans have ever called themselves very happy. Now it's way below that, Kurt. It's down to the, okay? I mean, okay, I don't believe they're honest. They're taking a snapshot dip in reality that has obvious reasons that the data occurs, and they're extrapolating that into this unhappiness idea. They say most of the surveys interviews were completed before the death of George Floyd, so it's way worse. Okay. They say Americans were already facing for the coronavirus outbreak a lot of discouragement, but now that George Floyd has put it over the top, especially, Kurt, for the black Americans. They're different than every other American, don't you know? The poll also found that the public is less optimistic today about the standard of living improving for the next generation, more so than even in the past 29 years. Only 42% of Americans believe that when their children reach their age, that the standard of living will be better. A solid 57% said that in 2018. And then they go back and compare 1994, and they say the survey has this plus or minus error and all this other stuff of like 2.9% or whatever else. But Kurt, I say the whole study is disingenuous. What they should write is a headline that says this: we've been doing the same studies about happiness since 1972, and happiness is at a temporary blip because of all the turmoil in the streets caused by out-of-control violent thugs and the racism problem that's been forced in front of the American people, creating a divide like you've never seen in America that doesn't exist in reality and on the ground, but it exists in hyperspace on the internet and in certain cities where it's intentionally created. And people, as a result, since they don't have their jobs, there's a blip in the unhappiness levels. We're going to take it over the next couple of times and tell you if this is systemic or real or more than just a blip. Okay, but they're not. They're hitting a home run, telling you, and in my opinion, this just adds to the problem, how unhappy you are, Kurt. If you don't, in fact, you're so unhappy, you probably don't even know how unhappy you are. Let me point it out and tell you how unhappy you are so you get the complete gravity of the situation. See, it's that kind of mentality that's insane. Kurt, no doubt, if you ask me if I feel isolated, I'm going to say yes. My family, for the most part, with rare exception, a few exceptions here and there, have been literally homebound by government kind of mandate. And so is everybody else in the nation. Then they go, do you feel isolated? Yeah. Wow. People have never felt so isolated. Okay. But they act like this is new startling revelation. But I say their snapshot is eclipsed to a new normal or a dishonest normal, or whatever word you want to use, but I don't believe it's a genuine reality, Kurt, at all. I believe it's a snapshot in time. You let people go outside, get some fresh air. You let people get a little bit of food in their belly and spend a little bit of time with loved ones. And before you know it, the happiness level will be back in a heartbeat, just like the economy. But if you ask me, do I think the economy is in the doldrums? Well, of course I do. The government shut it down. But does that mean that I think the economy can't rebound and that I think there's no happiness anywhere? See, that's where the lie is. Sure, if you lose your job and if you're isolated in your house and you do a happiness study, it's going to be a little blip of, you know, whoa, I'm not feeling it right now, Kurt. I'm just not. But that doesn't mean that there's this long-term systemic reality and the headline, poll, U.S. is the unhappiest it's been in over 50 years. See, I don't believe that's a fair statement, Kurt. I don't. I think it's a blip in the data, and I think they're dishonest intellectually for even highlighting it in the way that they do. They need to highlight it as a blip in the data. You know what, Americans, when polled, there's a blip in the data, folks, because you've been isolated so long and the coronavirus and the George Floyd things and the racism and the job losses and all these things. Man, there's a blip in the data. But I think you should ask some forward-looking questions in the right way and see how people really feel. You might say something like this: there's been a lot of turmoil in the world, but do you think God's got your back? Do you think there's hope in the world? What if you ask those kind of questions? Kurt will respond in seconds.
Listen to the wind blow. So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Tucker Carlson's in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And Tucker's, he's speaking out. And they say, the Western Journal, Randy DeSoto says, headline, Tucker Carlson loses ABC, T-Mobile as sponsors over his Black Lives Matter stance. I'm not surprised.
Actually, you got to love Black Lives Matter, or you're out, buddy.
Yeah, good point.
I don't love their criminal activity and violence at all.
Right. These advertisers who have announced they're pulling their ads from Tucker Carlson tonight include the parent company of ABC, which is Disney, T-Mobile, and Papa John's Pizza. Now, Mike Lindell, the big shot there at MyPillow, said, hey, I'm going to stick right here. So, the bottom line is, Sam, there's a lot of pushback when it comes to this whole Black Lives Matter.
We don't have to defend on ABC and T-Mobile and everybody else for our funding. Huh, Curter would be dead in the water, too.
Good point, Sam. And, these groups, they basically target anybody they want to take off the air, and that's what Black Lives Matter is doing. And, then you kind of get a little less...
that's what ABC and T-Mobile is
doing,
too.
Well, a little more censorship, I think.
Facebook Stunner for censorship pops up, too, Kurt.
Well, that's right. Dead Cops page, according to WorldNet Daily, is allowed on Facebook, but concerned moms are banned. Inciting violence against police doesn't violate community standards, according to the WorldNet Daily piece. So it all just depends on who's doing the censorshipping, I guess you'd say, Sam, right?
Amen to that. Trump to the ICC, the International Criminal Court, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. Leave Americans alone, he says. Fight escalates over the Hague's investigation of U.S. troops. But President Trump going to bat once again against these world government deals, the International Criminal Court in his crosshairs, if you will. Good stuff.
I agree with President Trump on this, Kurt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's right, and I don't know why we got an International Criminal Court in the first place. That breaches the sovereignty of nations, and constitutionally speaking, I reject an International Criminal Court or an ICC.
That's a great point, Sam.
All right, Rand Paul's in the news, Kurt. Yesterday he was in the news for creating a bill to stop no-knock warrants and such like that. He's in the news on the other side of the coin this time.
Well, this one reads from WorldNet Daily, Rand Paul stalls bill that would make lynching a federal hate crime. Senator argues measure too broad, gives 10-year sentence for simple injuries. And, I think he's probably trying to give a little bit of a, I guess you could say, wisdom to this whole thing, because when there's a big fire and everybody's all ticked off about something, sometimes they go a little too fast and a little too far.
Yeah, the end justifies the means. On the altar of expediency, we jettison the checks and balances. And I agree that it's too broad. I agree with Rand Paul on that point, but I would take a step back from the too broad comment, because that makes you believe if it was narrower, it would be okay. And I submit to you that there's no such thing as a federal hate crime. There's no constitutional provisions for federal crimes like this at all. In fact, there's a few crimes defined in the federal statutes relating to the supreme law of the land. And, you know, hate crimes aren't one of them. And so even if it was narrower, I still wouldn't back it. Now, I think that Rand Paul understands this point. I just think he's saying, hey, it's too broad. Let's just, you know, but the truth is, I don't believe in a federal bill about hate crimes in the first place of any kind, Kurt. This is a state and local matter, even so. Furthermore, I don't believe in hate crimes. I believe crimes are not committed out of love. All crimes are hate crimes by very nature. You know, loving, kind people who follow the Prince of Peace don't commit crimes. But I don't believe in this idea of a federal crime or a federal hate crime. I don't believe in the concept at all in the first place, because it violates the tenets of the Constitution. So Rand Paul's spot on, good for him. I want to open up the argument a little bit more than he's making, though, and say it's not just that it's too broad, it's that it's unconstitutional to make something like this on the federal level in the first place. But Rand's right, and I commend him for at least doing what he can. If we had more support, we might actually make a difference. You know, I mean, I appreciate him stalling it, but we could stop it if we had enough, right, Kurt? All right.
Couldn't
UCLA
more,
studies in the news to highlight this kind of opposition point, Kurt.
Well, that's right. WorldNet Daily's got the piece. Headline reads, UCLA study, younger black voters liking Trump more. Subheadline, activist says voting bloc has been duped over the past 50 years to only look at life through the prism of race. I think guys like Ben Carson and Sheriff David A. Clark, C.L. Bryant, you know, so many that we know are great.
And a host of others, I might add.
Yeah. Or, you know, Star Parker, Walter Williams, they're waking them up, I think. Don't you think, Sam?
Without question. Jesse Lee Peterson, right on down,
yeah,
you know.
I mean,
the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, younger black voters liking Trump more. The mainstream press doesn't want to admit that one at all. And it's true that activists are explaining that, you know what, they've taught the blacks to look through this, quote, whacked out voting lens for so long. And to prove the point, Joe Biden even goes, hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And so now you got, you know, black female commentators going, did Joe Biden just tell you I'm not black? It's just crazy town. But that highlights the reality that we're highlighting or that we're focusing on. Patrick Brady is his name, Kurt. He's speaking out. What, Medal of Honor recipient?
Well, that's right, Sam, and, you know, he's, well, he's, this piece is from, can't remember where this one's from, but anyway, it's in the America Burning section.
Yeah.
Says, Medal of Honor recipient attacks left's lies about race. Exclusive, General Patrick Brady weighs in on cops, rioters, George Floyd, and Black Lives Matter. And, you know, General Patrick Brady, Sam, as far as I understand, is a black man.
You mean he
and,
likes President Trump?
Probably. Yeah, well, yeah. And so, of course, they're not going to talk about him.
Of course not. But he's just another one of the hosts we speak of, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the Senate, believe it or not, confirms Trump's pick for the, quote, first black military branch chief, Jack Davis, with the article.
From Western Journal, and, you know, I didn't hear a whole lot of talk about this, Sam.
Of course
not.
I
mean, you'd sure think.
I got a question.
A story like this, you'd really hear a lot.
Does this Medal of Honor recipient life matter? Does this first black military branch chief's life matter, Kurt? How come we're not talking about the wonderful blessings that are happening in their lives?
Great point.
Think it's black privilege that got them there, Kurt? Or do you think that President Trump might just be not looking at race at all? He might be looking at the merits of the man or the woman, if you will, and giving credit where credit's due. Maybe it's that way, Kurt. What if it was that way?
I mean, imagine that.
Wouldn't that be a blessing and a delight?
I think so.
All right. So who's this Trump's pick now? What's his name?
Well, you've got you're talking about General Charles K. Brown, and Q Brown Jr. He was confirmed 98-0, according to NPR. Brown became the first black American to lead a branch of the military. Trump celebrated.
So under Donald Trump, hold on a minute. Under Donald Trump, the massive racist, the first black general slash head of a department in the military or whatever, happens under President Trump, the racist?
That's exactly right.
Well, maybe he's not a racist then. Maybe that's been a big old lie. Ask Ben Carson if you think so? I'm confused.
Good point, Sam. President Trump tweeted out, he says, historic day for America. Excited to work even more closely with General Brown, who's a patriot and a great leader.
Oh, amen.
Oh, imagine that.
I don't even know much about the guy. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? There you go. General Flynn speaking out on the chaos in U.S. cities, Kurt.
That's right. Michael Flynn, you know, we got General Flynn, and this one's by Michael Flynn from the Western Journal. And the headline reads, General Flynn on chaos in U.S. cities, : tyranny and treachery are in our midst, but God stands with us.
You know, is he allowed to say that,
about
Kurt?
This General Flynn, you know, you can see why. Well, he is here, but you can see why they were after him, Sam, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know what? I agree that there's treachery in our midst, but God stands with us. So far, even though there's been some turmoil in America, I mean, he has protected us like no other. And my wife and I and family members were talking about this the other day, of how, you know what, we really haven't had in the last 50 years anything really too extreme. You can say, well, the coronavirus, you can say the, you know, Vietnam War at the start of it, you can say the Iraq War or whatever, and I'm not saying there's not been blips, you can say the 2008 Great Recession, and, you know, I'm not saying there's not been something, you know, you can say, well, Sam, what about 9/11, or what about Oklahoma City bombing, or, okay, I get it, but for the most part, those things haven't disrupted everybody's lives. Not like in World War II when everybody had to go to work for the factories to make the things for war, and ration, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you know, when everybody had a family member or whatever die in the war or whatever. We haven't had those things. And really the last 50 years, it's been a very, very, very calm scenario. So when General Flynn on the chaos in the U.S. cities and in society at large says there's tyranny and treachery in our midst, but God stands with us, I think he's right as rain. Absolutely spot on. But I will say this, if we don't repent and turn to God, it'll be short-lived. I mean, that's based on prophecy. I pray it isn't true, and I pray we repent. I think we can self-determine, and we can use our agency wisely. But if we don't, I'm telling you, there's going to be trouble ahead. And I predict it, but pray that it doesn't happen. And I want to do all that we can on this broadcast to influence, to ensure that it doesn't happen. But let me give you a point about how, in my opinion, dishonest society has become. Headline says, music school officials, Kurt.
Good point. And by the way, Sam, that one was an op-ed. So Michael Flynn, the guy who, you know, they went after, you know, with the president that was supposed to be the president's pick that they tried to take out in the early days, is who wrote this. And, you know, that we just were talking about. And he's basically saying, hey, you know, hell is conquerable. Prayer is the greatest weapon. And a consciousness of God is the ultimate thought of the day. You know, I mean, freedom must never be taken for granted. Securing our freedom demands a high price, and that price requires hard work and sacrifice. You know, so this is the guy who the president had chosen, and the one that the deep state, especially the Obamagate, you know, thing, you know, that Sebastian Gorka and so many others have talked all about, have gone after that General Michael Flynn. Anyway, the next story, like you say, you got music school officials apologize for letting police use restrooms. Pledge they won't
what
let it happen again.
How do you apologize for letting the cops use the restrooms and say it won't happen again?
I mean, it's just like...
I'd be like, come on in, sir, by all means. Thanks for your work. We appreciate you. Remember to be kind and gentle, brother. We're going to, you know, lead by example. Welcome. Would you like a drink of
water?
They
had some protests because the music school let the policemen use the bathroom, so that some people were ticked off about it.
I say they ought to play them a song and wish them well and ask them to be kind and gentle to the people out there and lead and teach by example of kindness, Kurt. What do you think?
Great point, Sam.
Of course, that's just me, and then they say that I'm a radical, huh? I'm just an extremist,
you're
a racist, a homophobe. Wow. All right. Well, all I can tell you is this. We will. You know, if they take our cloak, we'll give them our coat, too, mentality. We follow the Prince of Peace on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Our one in the can, two coming up. God save the Republic.